If you can see, if you can be seated. But just Psalms, just one verse I want to read, 62. And I want to read it from the King James Version. Psalm 62, 5. I don't know where you guys are going. Psalm 62, 5 says, my soul waits silently for God alone, for my expectation is from Him. Father, we did not go through last year like a bump on a log. We didn't go through what we went through last year so we could come into 2019 acting the same, giving the same, praying the same, walking the same. Lord, we went through what we went through last year so we could walk in expectation for the rest of our life. You took a whole year, God, and you infiltrated our doubt, and you installed some supernatural faith and some confidence that from this moment on, from 2018 on, that we would begin to walk in expectancy, that every time we pray, that we would expect you to move. And why? Because of our faith in you and not ourselves. Lord, we thank you today, God, that this word be a lamp unto the feet of your people. I pray you speak to every ear, but mostly speak to every heart. And remove any distraction from our mind or our midst this morning. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen and amen. Somebody give the Lord a shout. You can be seated. Psalm 62, I think of the psalmist, the way he must have written some of the psalms that he wrote. You think about what he must have been going through as a young boy, and then as he became a warrior, and then as he became an old king. You see David, the life of David. You see his verbiage. And I think this word here, expectation, has to jump off the page at you, if it hasn't already. That 2018, when God spoke to this word to us last year, around this time, around November, December, said, I'm coming into 2018. I want you to tell the people to begin to expect me to do great things. And I'm doing a new thing. And Isaiah, he says, I'm doing a new thing in you. He said, you declare it all year long. I want my people to begin to march. I want them to march into their jobs. I want them to march into the city. I want them to march into their families. And from now, their prayer is going to be different. I want them to begin to pray when they pray in the morning for their kids. That I want to say, Lord, they may not be in church right now, but I see them there with expectancy. I think that you better understand something here this morning, that when we do a recap like this, it's so just to remind you of what God has already done in your life. But there could be, because God's a God of the last second sometimes. Very last second miracles he does. I've seen him do it so many times in my life. But think about it. It may be one more person in here that says, you know what? I don't feel no expectancy. I feel like God has left me. I've done this. I got some good news and some bad news here today. What do you want to hear first? You want to hear the bad news or the good news first? The good news is that God's never done with us, and that he's a last-second kind of God, that he can get the last second pluck you from the very fires of hell. And the bad news is, you know what? The bad news is, you know what? The devil has got to eat it. He don't have no play with you. I know you think he does. I know he thinks he does. But our God, and according to the word of God, he does not. Because there's some people fighting for you. There's some people praying for you. And as long as you have breath, as long as you have breath in your lungs, there's hope for you. See, the psalmist says, my soul, my intellect, my mindset, my mentality, my thought patterns, everything about me waits silently for you, God, alone. Just you. I'm not looking for a government check. I'm not looking for somebody to come and rescue me. I'm looking just for you, God. See, the psalmist says, I've known whom I can trust. And so he says, for my expectations from him. In other words, he was declaring that you don't have to put your expectancy in another person or another thing or money or material things or even in a church. This church can't save you. I can't save you. One time says, oh, let me introduce you to my friend, the pastor, he saved me. And I said, I know he just said that for a lack of better words, that he's the one who led me to the Lord. Because I can't save nobody. Not even myself. And I think about what he must have been writing when he said, my expectation is from everything. I expect everything from him. And, you know, when we talk like that, I think sometimes we might feel like that's not too humble. That might be too overconfident and saying like, you know, we're ordering God around. But we're not. My Bible says, Jesus said in Matthew 7:7, he says, if you ask anything. The key is being bold enough to ask him for anything. Amen. And before I preach any more here this morning, I want to just welcome some very important people here today because this is our first time. Last week I couldn't do this because there was like 40 names on there. And I was like, man, I'll be here like for 10 minutes doing that. But we got their names and we, you know, write a letter and stuff. But I want to just welcome Kevin and Carol and Melissa and Patrice and Kirk and Brescia and McMargaret and Louie and Yvonne and Monica and Andrew and Monique here for the very first time. And it is so good to have you with us. And it's so good to have for the second time, and I didn't get a chance to, but Gilbert and Lynn, it's good to have you guys here with us, man. You would have been on that list last week, but that was a long list. My God, that list was long. I said, man, it's so good to see people here on Christmas. What I really love, the fact, is that Christmas season gives us a reason, man. It gives us a reason to get back a hold of God. I mean, think about the Christmas season. There's no greater season that people everywhere. Did you hear about in Iraq that they passed a law that now they recognize Christmas Day in Iraq? That's never happened before. Jesus is on the throne everywhere. It don't matter where. They've never declared December 25th a day of Christmas. It's people recognize it, but not a law. How you know that the light of the world has come? And no matter what, darkness tries to snuff it out. Light always beats the darkness. Amen? This past year, we were challenged to raise the level of our expectation. I don't think it is that we didn't have any expectation. I believe that we need to raise the level of our expectation. I believe that God was wanting to speak to us and say, I want you to walk in a spirit of expectation from now on. Not just in 2018, and then you take the t-shirt off, and you take the video away, and you move on to the next item. No, I believe that when God speaks to us such a dynamic word, like he did, a prophetic word, like he did this past year, there was so much prophetic that happened this year. So many things from the past that had been prophesied happened this past year because we have stood in faith believing God, growing weary in well-doing, but in due season we reaped a harvest. Let me tell you something right now, that when God challenges a people, when he challenged the people of Israel, you always see there's some things about us as human beings that always have a tendency to fight the system, to fight the plan of God. We want to get in our own mentality and do things our way. And then God says, if you'll just come right back to where I have a plan for you, you'll see me bless your life. See, I mean, my question is, what did you learn in this last year? Did you learn how to walk in expectancy? Or are you still doubting God? Are you still doubting that God can do what he says he can do? Did you plan your life expecting last year when you heard those few couple of messages back in January and February? Was March and April and were you looking around saying, I can't wait to see what's going to happen next? Or were you still doubting God? Or has it been a long time? You see, have you been believing God to show up at your house, to show up in your marriage, to show up with your kids? Did you learn how to expect God to come through even though things don't look like they're good, even though it doesn't look like anything's happening? We sang this song all year long, Waymaker. We sang it all year long. We sang that song saying that, you know what, even when I don't feel that you're working, even though I don't see you working, you're always working, you're always moving, you're always moving. We sang that song because we know that with expectancy, we recognize the fact that when God moves, he moves in his timing and not in ours. So my question is, did you expect God to provide for you? How many times did you see God provide for you when you thought there was no way God was going to provide for you? Let me see a show of hands. I mean, look at that. God provided for you. Not so much just a miracle financial, but some of you got financial miracles. But I'm talking about provided. He provided insurance for you. He provided a car for you. He provided some way. And for some of you, I don't know, there's a whole lot of love in the air. There's like five couples that are like in the midst of like getting ready to plan for marriage and stuff. I don't know what's going on. You know, somebody started this business. Amen. But there's a love in the air. Love is in the air, you know. Love boat. We're like the love boat over here. You know what I mean? Slow down now. It's not for everybody just because somebody says everybody. I'll me too. You got to wait. You got to wait on God. But you don't realize the people that are doing that have been waiting on God for a long time. They're waiting on God. And then God, the expectancy, God says, it's a time now. But did you expect God to provide? What about your healing? You know, as we were praying for my mama, you know, she's sick, for, I don't know, 4 or 5 weeks in a row. I expected God to heal her. Let me tell you, not just her, but our whole intercessory team was, our whole prayer team was hit, I mean, tragically with just sickness. I mean, nonstop attacks on their life the last month and a half, 2 months. You know, Mr. Barber and I said, wait a minute. They fight for us in the spirit at midnight, at 1 a.m, at 5 a.m, enough's enough. So we started praying like that with expectancy, and all of a sudden they started getting healed. But think about it. Think of the very ones who cover your pastors on a 24-hour, 7 days a week, they're all getting hit. Like 3 or 4 of them just pounded. Carm, trying to tell her she had a new liver. Last week she goes, Pastor, don't be praying. I need a new liver no more. I don't need a new liver. I got a good liver. My kidney's healed. I said, oh, I didn't know that. But all these prayer warriors been getting hit. So guess what? We said, wait a minute, man. We put the dukes up, man. We put the boxing gloves on. And you know, we put our hunting gear on. You know, y'all know Sister Barbara likes to hunt too. We put the hunting gear on and says, what? You know, and went after it. Did you expect the unexpected? Because that's what we preached about last year. Did your faith grow? Or your faith still in the same place where it was last year, 2017, when you came into 2018, and all January we were jumping, hollering, and excited, and shouting about being, having, expecting God to move, and you just, man, were bummed out, man, and you got to July, and you were still bummed out, and you got to September, and you say, why is everybody excited? Nothing's happening for me. I want you to know something right now. You got to understand that you got to keep on believing. You don't just believe it the very next day it happens. Sometimes it took my wife 10 years to pray me through. That doesn't mean it's going to take 10 years for you, but I want you to know something, that you've got to trust God. You got to believe God. Do you live in expectation now and to that, the end of this year, or are you still questioning God? See, God said to us, I want to do a new thing in you. I want you to be able to walk around, not in pride, not in arrogance, but I want you to march around, and whenever you put your, wherever you put your feet, I want you to declare it for God's glory. When God brought us to this building, I didn't want to come to this building. I don't know if you know this, but I fought coming here for 4 years. You know, we could have had this building 4 years before that. Well, we couldn't have, because the price was ridiculous. And the pastor here that was here, they had such a high price, it was out of our range. And we'd already done our research on loans, and there's no way we could have afforded a mortgage here. No way. And for 4 years, I expected God to come through, because He gave us a word that He was going to give us a place to worship. And so we fought it. And every place we went, we thought that was the place. But everywhere we went, there was something in me that was uneasy. Something inside of me that said, this is not the place, but it's good for now, but it's not home. And I fought it. And when He came to me, He called me up about 4 years, about before we got it. We bought this, what, 3 years ago? 2 years we moved it. 2 years ago, we moved in here, and when He called me 4 years prior to that, I said, don't call me. I don't want to be there. I'm not called to that area. He looked at me like, really? Okay. Then he called me back 6 months later. Hey, Pastor, come and look at this building. I go, which building you got? He goes, no, bro, quit calling me. I'm going to block your phone. His name is Mark. I go, come on, Mark, man. I can't. Well, they dropped the price a little bit. From like 1.5 down to 1.3, and I go, really? Don't call me back again. We're not in a position for that right now. I know when our books look like, we do not afford that. We don't got enough for that. Okay, call me a year later. They dropped the price again. I go, brother, I said don't call me. They called me one last time, And we were getting ready to have to make a decision down at Lead what we were going to do. And that situation looked favorable to us. And overnight it just changed. And when he called me and says, you're not going to believe this, but they dropped the price down to here. I said, I'll meet you there. I met him here. I walked into the building. It was horrific. I know it's still not done yet, but it is 1,000 times better than it was the day I walked in here. I'm not kidding you. We're not done yet. The outside's still got to be done. There's a lot to be done here. But when I walked in here and I looked, I said, I can already tell them. I bring people in here, they're going to be like, what? This place is horrible. I can't believe they're asking this price for it. So I just walked in here. I called Barb. She goes, babe, I don't feel it. I don't feel that place at all. My spirit, I go, just come and sit with me. And let's just pray over there. Let's look at it. She goes, okay. So we came here and we sat right over there. Right there where you're at, Brother Hector. Right there. In the other chair, the other brown chairs. They were sitting right there and we just looked. And we walked to the place. She goes, this place is awful, babe. I go, I know. I go, I know. But so was I. I was awful. I said, look at what God has done. Don't you think God can do something here? And he goes, I don't know. And so we prayed for about an hour. We just prayed in the spirit. We prayed and prayed, and all of a sudden she goes, God spoke. I go, what? She goes, this is the place. And I go, are you sure now? Because I start flipping the script on her. I go, are you sure now? Because I don't know. You had me convinced a while ago. She says, no, I'm feeling it. I go, you know what? I've known it was since the moment I walked in here. So I just wanted to see what you think. Let's go talk to the leaders. So brought the leaders over here, and they did the same thing. So we went ahead and made a decision to buy it. Then I brought Pastor Sonny, our founder, over here, and he walked in here, and he did the same thing. He looked and he goes, your pastor has a lot of faith. Wow. He goes, how long did it take you to get? We'll be done in 5 months. He goes, 5 months? How about 5 years? What I'm trying to say is we were expecting God to move. We didn't know how he was going to move. And he moved to get us to where we needed to be, because we're not a quadrant church. We're not a neighborhood church. We may be a small church, but we're not a church for just an area. We are a Albuquerque church. We're a city church. God has called us to the hurting of Albuquerque. And it don't matter where we're at, if we're on the north side or the south side or the east side or the west side. God has called us to reach treasures out of darkness. God has called us to reach hurting families. He's called us to walk in to places where nobody else will walk, but he's also called us. Listen, I believe with all my heart that God has called us to everyone in this city. It doesn't matter what background they come from. I don't care if they work at the highest building or in the lowest crack house. God has called us to the city of Albuquerque. And God, what God did for me this past year, as he said, listen, I want you to begin to expect me to do something in your church that you've never seen it done before in the 30 years that it's existed, in the past 33 years. I want you to believe God for what he's about to do. And so I begin to believe like that and trust God like that. See, his word always comes through. If he declares he's going to do something, then you have to be waiting and believing and expecting. Listen, when they tell you you're pregnant, ladies, what do? You're expecting that 9 months later you're going to have a baby. Listen, when your boss tells you, guess what? You got a raise coming. What are you doing around? You're saying, I don't care about that raise. No, you're sitting around expecting. You can't wait to get that next check. The spirit of expectation comes on you. God said, I want to do something new in you. What about expecting his return? Have you forgotten the hustle bustle of life? That you're not? He's coming soon. There's not a lot of prophecies that need to come to pass yet. There's so many that have already come to pass. There's just a few things. We don't know the hour nor the time. No man knoweth the hour nor the time, but he is coming soon. Come on, somebody shout. If you believe that, if you expected the return of Christ, he's coming back. We got to expect that. Now, let me jump real quick. When I think about Romans 8, and I think about how the Bible says that, you know, he works everything out. I don't think that's a loose scripture. I think sometimes we use that scripture a little loosely. He works everything out for those who love him and called according to his purpose. He works it out. No. You got to understand. I want you to grab something here. In Romans 8, he says, All things work to the good. To the good. For those who love Him. And for those who are called according to what? To His purpose. And so if it's His purpose that we're called to, then as long as we stay in His purpose, not our purpose, even though He gives us a purpose in Him, if we stick to His purpose and our purpose lines up with His purpose, then everything will work out. I don't care what it looks like. That's the type of expectation that God wanted to inject in our lives in 2018, so that from now on, you don't question God. You don't question when a declaration comes forth. When you get a word from God, you don't say, oh, I guess that word wasn't for me. No, that word was for you. It just wasn't for right now. It might be for next month or next... Oh, somebody got to hear me this morning shout. Remember what he says in Philippians chapter 1. He says, I'm gonna finish what I started. He who has begun a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. You can expect it. Now, what stops expectation? I preached this a couple of times this year, but I want to recap it one more time before we close this. Fear, number one. Fear will stop you from expecting. Fear. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Fear, man, fear will stop you from believing. Just when you start to believe and then something comes in to cause you to be fearful. To be fearful. And then you start walking that spirit of fear, and fear begins to grip you. And then instead of expecting God, you walk in fear. And God says, enough of that. See, when you're expectant, when you have a spirit of expectancy, when you walk in a spirit of expectation with a godly and Holy Ghost mentality, that no matter what things look like, when you walk like that, you cast out fear. When the enemy comes and says, I'm going to do this to you, you say, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Everything. Every tongue that rises up against me, every attack of the... You have to understand that you have... When you walk in expectancy and the devil comes and he tries to shout you down, you got to be ready to shout him down. The second thing that stops expectation is a lack of faith. What did the disciples do? They walked with the master of the wind. They walked with the King of Kings. They walked with the King of Heaven, who came to earth as a little child, grew into a boy, got a young boy of wisdom, and then by the age of 30 years old was being baptized by his cousin John the Baptist in the Holy Ghost River of the Jordan River. Come on, somebody. He got, all of a sudden he comes out of there and a dove appeared over him. He says, oh, man, this is the Messiah. This is the Christ. This is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He's come on the scene. So there he is. He's the man. He's there and he has these 12 disciples and he's teaching them. He's speaking to them. But one night while they were out boating, come on somebody, they were out on a boat out there, the winds got crazy, and you know, how many know that God can rest in turmoil? How many know God wants you to learn how to rest sometimes in your turmoil? See that little baby right here in a big old crowd like this? She's like, just rest in your turmoil. Jesus is resting, the boat is going back, and it's just like a lullaby for Jesus. Like, he's like, remember, I created these winds. I created the H2O under the winds and under this boat, and all the material it took to make this boat, the clouds, you, I created it all so I could just... that thing just rocking, and they're like, ah, we're gonna die. What does Jesus say? Oh, ye of little faith. I mean, they were with the Son of God. And they couldn't believe. So what did he teach them? He taught them, you've got to have big faith. Little faith's okay. See, don't get that wrong. Just because you have little faith doesn't mean you're bad. Little faith, that word, little faith means, is the Greek word oligopistos. And that word, what it means, is it means like an underdeveloped kind of faith. The kind of faith that's maybe not completely mature yet. It's still faith, but it's not that kind of faith that goes, oh, I believe it beyond a shadow of a doubt. It's that kind of faith. These guys still have that little bit of faith, but they had to grow in their faith for on that day of Pentecost. That day when he said, I want you to go up into that upper room and I want you to wait for me there and I'm going to send you the Holy Ghost. I'm going to send you a helper. I'm going to send you the comforter. And the Bible says there was about 120 up in the upper room and they began to speak in other tongues and the Holy Ghost fell upon them. And all those same little faith disciples stepped out of the upper room, went down, and Peter, the one who had denied him, Peter who had blown it, Peter who had little faith, who had cut somebody, who pulled his knife out and cut somebody in front of the master. That Peter, who denied Christ, who even cussed him out and said, I don't know that blankety, blankety, blankety. That same Peter, after the power of God hit him, see, God taught them how to expect. They didn't realize what was going to happen in that moment, but in that moment when the Holy Ghost fell upon them, oh, something happened to Peter. Peter ran down to the street corner and he said, man, get the rally started. Start telling people to come on out. And the Bible says he preached the gospel of Jesus Christ and 3,000 people came to the Lord that day. You see, when he stood in that corner, he expected something big to happen because he was challenged by the one who we expect from. Many miracles. And the third reason why things can stop your expectation. Don't you ever let this stop you. Because 2019, we got to rip away and say, you know what, we're going in 2019 with something. And next week, we're going to bring back the theme for 2019. I'm believing God for big things in 2019. But you know what will stop you is the wrong mentality. Huh? Proverbs 23:7 says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. You got to quit thinking you're lower than you are. You got to quit, I'm never going to be nothing. I'm never going to do this. I'm always going to fail. I'm not going to be able to do this. You know what? You need to quit thinking like that. And you need to march into that situation and say, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I know who I am. I know who I am. I belong to him and not myself. See, when you think negatively, when you're negative all the time, or it becomes contagious, not just to you, but your family gets in the fabric of your family. You wonder why your family don't want to come to church. Because everything's good. You're shouting it down. Oh, my church. I love my church. Oh, God's good. And then as soon as everything goes bad, all of a sudden they see you like buckled up at home all the time. See you buckled up at home. See you are afraid. See you walking in fear. Saying things you normally wouldn't say about people you normally wouldn't say it about. All kind of negative stuff come out your mouth. And then they're looking at you like, hey, you want me to go to your church? You want me to go to church? And they don't understand judging yet. That's just who they are. They don't know yet. But you know. So when you get a wrong mentality, see, you can't blame God for every little thing. Man, see, I gave my tithes and I still got a flat tire. What's God trying to teach you? I don't know. Did God made you out of a flat tire? Maybe you just need some new tires. Those ones have been bald for a while already. Come on, somebody. See, the wrong mentality will render you to things you shouldn't be rendered to. On the other hand, you have to make sure you're not expecting your own thoughts and your own will. It's a wrong mentality. You gotta be careful that your will lines up. See, there's God's perfect will and there's his permissive will. And I don't know about you, man. I've been in his permissive will way too much in my life. I want to be in his perfect will. Fear gives you a fearful mentality. Faith gives you a sound mind. Real quickly, when you walk in faith, you defeat fear. You validate your faith. You literally say to the situation, to the circumstance, you say, this is my faith. My faith is big enough to believe in this turmoil. And thirdly, we operate with a new mentality. When you walk in expectancy, you're like, man, oh, my God, Look at that expectancy. Wow. You know why? Is that because you're being prideful? And say, no, I expect God to move. I expect that God to give me. I'm going to get that contract.
Well, I don't know.
Are you going to get it? Well, how do you know that? Because I've been sowing seed. I've been giving. I've been standing. I've been praying. I've been faithful to little. That's why. My word says this. So I believe what my word says. What God's word says to me, I believe it. I don't doubt it. See? Whenever you have a good mentality and you begin to have a new perspective. We talked a lot this past year about looking but not really seeing. Like I can look at you right now. But if I really want to see you, I need to put these on. I don't really know who's here. I can see the second, third row, maybe. I know the women's home says right there. I know that the girls. But if I put these on, I'm like, woo, I didn't know you were here. See, you can look. Sometimes we don't see. And expectancy causes us to have a whole new perspective on life, a whole new perspective about our church, a whole new perspective about your family, a whole new perspective of where you work at. Say, man, I can't stand it working here. But you know what? You may can't stand right there, but that's where God has you. You're on assignment there right now. It may not be forever. It might be soon that you won't be there anymore. But well, while you're there, what are you doing for Christ there? Because wherever you're at, you're on assignment. The Bible says wherever your feet touch the ground, that's where you're supposed to possess. You're supposed to have victory wherever you go. And if you're defeated at your job and you're all bummed out, that mentality is going to spread into your family. It's going to spread into your finances. And instead of doing that, you've got to walk and say, I don't know why God asked me here. I don't even like it here. I don't like my boss. I don't like the co-employees. But God's got me here. And I'm going to tell you something right now. That roughest one that you can't stand against, the one that judges you and calls you Christian cuss words and names, that's probably the one, that's probably the reason why you're there. I said that's probably the reason why you're there. I'll never forget when I was a fireman for the city of Albuquerque. There was this one guy that I knew. I was in the academy with me. And this guy, before I got saved, he never said two words to me about like negative. He always would just agree with me. And he knew who I was, and I wasn't the nicest person. But I'm telling you right now, when I got saved, it was like the devil gave him like a plan to come to bring me down, constantly. And the guy would say things and come against me constantly, and I would want to hit him. I would want to fight him. I would want to take him outside. Let's go outside, man. I got to talk to you outside for a minute. But I couldn't do that. My dad told me, you can't do that, son. You can't hit people no more. I said, how come? And he says, the Bible says right here, I go, okay. I said, what about when they hit you on the other cheek? I said, okay. So anyway, I would serve this guy his coffee because I was a cook. I would take his coffee and I would put his coffee and I'd make it just like he liked it. I'd put it right by him where he's sitting after we had dinner. First of all, I set his plate and he wouldn't even touch that plate to go get another plate. I'd set it, it would just sit there. Fresh egg on top of the enchiladas, fresh sopapillas, and my wife and my mom both had taught me to make graciously growing up. I knew what they tasted like. Sister Barb trained me, and boy, I made them really good. And he wouldn't touch him. He would go get his own. He wouldn't let me serve him. He wouldn't do anything. And I was like, man, I'm expecting to win this guy to the Lord, but he just got worse and worse and worse. I want you to know, when God spoke to me about leaving the department, I got out and I left. The last day I was leaving, this same guy looked at me in the eyes because everybody was coming hugging me, and I was gone. I was on my last day on the job. I was done after 10 and a half, almost 11 years. I was leaving. And he was over in the corner over there. And I thought, I ain't going to get no love from this guy. So that's all right. You know, I'm not even going to talk to him, I guess. You know. But everybody, he called me, goes, can I talk to you? He took me to the room. He was a very prideful guy. Took me to the room. And he goes, hey, I know I've been rotten to you, man. But if I ever decide to be a Christian, it's going to be because of you, man. And I looked at him, and he had tears in his eyes. Help me never to lose that. I don't ever want to lose that. See, that's what a wrong mentality will. You'll lose that. Your attractiveness to people. You can't lose that. And that's what that expectancy. People are expecting something different. If you say you're different, people are expecting something different. And I looked him in the eyes and I shook his hand. I pulled him close, hugged him like that, and I goes, good luck on everything you're gonna do, man. See, God's got a plan for you, bro. See. The wrong mentality will change your destiny. But if you get the right mentality, See, we don't live by sight. We live by faith. If you believe you're destined, if you believe you're determined, then there will be difficulties. Don't you dare give up during the difficult times. I want you to think about that. Go ahead, give the Lord a shout real quick. I'm not going to read it, but we know who Gideon is, right? And you know, we all know who Gideon was. Gideon was, the story of Gideon is such a heavy story. Gideon was just a man who just thought he had nothing coming. He didn't expect nothing from God. One day the angel of the Lord shows up in chapter 6 of the book of Judges. He shows up. He calls him by a powerful name. He says, "You mighty man of valor." He looks right in the eye, like, "You." And he's like, "Who are you talking about? Surely it can't be me." And he begins to give excuses. "I'm not a mighty man. If I'm a mighty man of valor, if God's called me, then why has all this happened to us?" Starts talking about all the destruction in his family and how they're the lowest or the poorest or the most broken. Because my family is the lowest of all the families, and then I'm the lowest of my family. But the angel of the Lord doesn't give up, because God never gives up on us. And he keeps on declaring, "This is who you are. You're a mighty man of valor. You're mighty." And finally, the Bible says, and about chapter 6, around 13, 14, 15, like that in area, and because of time, you can read it later. He does something that shows you what every one of us must do when we finally are convinced of who God says we are. He asks him something. He says, "Okay, if this is who you say I am, then you wait right here." And he goes and gets an offering. Comes back and brings back a fleece before the Lord. All of a sudden, from 1 minute to the next, he goes from being a non-expectant man to a man of absolute, absolute expectation. From that moment on, everything God said to do, even the way he defeated the Midianites. Think about the way he fought. They fought weird with pitchers. They broke pitchers and they had little lamps. And it's like, how do you fight? Don't you use swords and spears? And no, and those are just a few of them. He had an army of 32,000. God broke it down to 22,000. Then eventually down to 300. The original 300. And he defeated an army of maybe 100,000 people with an army of 300. Why? Because when you believe who God says you are, I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what the turmoil, the situation, or the circumstances. When you believe who God says you are, I'm telling you right now, you can stand in the face of your enemies and you'll see them defeated, just like David. We think about the little David and we think about his big defeat against Goliath, but that was just the beginning. That was just scratching the surface of what God wanted to do. Remember the songs they sang about David? They sang songs like, "Oh, Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his 10,000s. Why? Because when David walk down into that valley. Listen, we all got valleys to walk into. And when you walk into that valley, you got to march into that valley just like David walked into that valley. He walked into that valley with a little stone. But you notice, you never ever find later on that David fought with stones anymore. Let me tell you why. Because there's certain battles that God uses to get you to a place where you need to be. And then you need to put that weapon away, because that's not for your future. That was for now, but not for then. And I want you to know, David walked in and expecting. But that only taught him how, when he fought against the Philistines and when he walked into other battles, that he expected God to defeat his enemies no matter what. And what about the disciples, lastly? They've been taught to expect, but they questioned God. After the resurrection and after the day of Pentecost, they begin to walk in expectation from that day on. Let me close with this. You want to come, the worship team wants to come. I want you to hear this. See, the devil can't read your mind, but waits till you speak. and decides if he can use your words to destroy your expectation. I want these to be the last words of this message of this year. The devil can't read your mind. He cannot. He can't read your mind. Cannot, period. Biblically, scripturally, he cannot read your mind. But he waits till you start flapping, complaining, sin, whatever. He waits till you speak. Then he makes a decision if he can use those words against you. And then he works you. He works you and he hurts you. And then he blames you. He works like that. So the key is be careful what comes out your mouth. Be careful when it comes out of mouth is praise. Faith. Trust. God's word. When you don't know what to say, use God's word. When you don't know what to say about a situation, what the Bible says. Because when you start to speak of your own hurt, if you're hurt, hurt people hurt people. So if Adam hurt, you don't want to hurt nobody. Jabez says, help me not to hurt anybody. I don't want to hurt anyone. And the devil will use your words to hurt people. The devil will use your words to destroy your future, to destroy your faith, destroy your expectation. No more fear. No more wrong mentality. See, when the Lord tells you to give and fear comes on you, that's the devil. He's already used your words. I don't know if I'll have enough. Boom. He's like, I can use that against her. I can use that against him. I'll work on that. I'll work on that. Instead of saying, you know what, God, if that's what you said, then I'll do that. When God says, go to the Panama Crusade. You say, well, how will I get off work and how will I go? I want you to stand on your feet with me. I want you to close your eyes. I don't want no moving around for just a few minutes here. I just want to really want to thank God for the word he gave us for 2018. But I really want to make sure that you understand that God's plan to inject and to directly declare into your life that you are to walk with expectancy from now on. See, the road doesn't promise to be smooth up ahead. It might be rough up ahead. But whether it's smooth or rough, God is saying, you walk with me, expecting me to come through, to provide, to be your peace, to be your victory, to defeat your enemies, to give you to fulfill my plan in your life, to fulfill the vision, to use your life in the purpose I've given you, the Lord says. And nobody, no man, nobody, the devil can't do it. Nobody can stop that. You must walk expecting. Let the year of expectation always be in your heart, the spirit of expectation. The devil will try to use things against you. Don't you let him. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, pray, God, that your spirit, the spirit of expectation, would come upon the people of God here. And that all year long you drove it into us, you spoke it into us, that we would not let loose of the declaration of expectation. And that, Lord God, we would not allow the enemy to take that from us, that we would walk forward into the future, my God, ready to raise up our faith to another level, ready to walk into 2019 in a new level, Father God, never been before. Brand new spirit, brand new time for what you have for us. In the name of Jesus, we love you, Father. In Jesus' name, as they sing this song, I want to open up to these altars. Those of you who say, Pastor, I don't want to leave 2018 without getting some things right with God.
I
don't want to leave 2018 not getting saved and giving my life to Jesus. I don't want to leave 2018 with doubt in my heart. I want to be a man, a woman, a young person of expectation. I want to stand in faith and believe God for everything He wants to do in my life. Listen, if you've been, if the devil's been fighting you, if the enemy has been trying to completely abolish your faith, if he's been trying to stop you from believing for the miracles that he has for you, then this altar call, this last altar call of 2018 is for you this morning. I want to challenge you this morning to come and find a place at this altar and begin to pray and begin to stand in faith and begin to say, Lord, from this day forward, I am going to walk in the spirit of expectation. I will not revert back to the way things used to be. I will not revert back to doubt, but I'm going to stand in faith. No more fear. No more wrong mentality. I'm going to speak those things that are not as if they were in the name of Jesus.
Feel it, you're working. You never stop.
You never stop working. Go.